Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be...
Good morning, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. I'm Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I have no clue what it is that you're doing at 11, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that do, and that you decided to do that do with me. Yesterday, is it the day before yesterday now? Either way, one of those 2 days, the prime ministers of both the Barbados and of the Bahamas, which are predominantly the only two that I watch, were on their feet at the COP26 summit, making the case for their countries as to why larger nations ought to do the kinds of things that gets the kind of funding that will cause small island nations to not have to deplete their entire budgets annually, preparing for and rebuilding after or in the aftermath of things like natural disasters, in the wake of rising sea tides, in the wake of coastal erosion, and most notably on both island leaders' behalf, hurricanes, right? So I see everybody is giving the Prime Minister, Mr. Davis, a clap up for his presentation yesterday. I wish to argue that we had become so accustomed to him being bad at public communication that now that he is in terrible, we feel like he's reached a pinnacle. And the truth is, I still don't know if that is correct. If I had to grade him, I would give him a 78%, maybe. If I felt really good, an 80. I thought that his message was clear and brief, which is two of the tenets of good communication, right? Clarity and brevity. And I do think, though, that he got his audience a bit confused. I heard a lot of the language, and it sounded to me like a local pitch. We've got to be bold. We've got to be brave. That would have been a better play on words if he was talking to Bahamians, because colloquially, we know him as brave. I don't think the president of the United States of America and Sri Lanka and all those other places, I don't think they got it. And I think the message was, our yesterday is now today, and it is becoming all of our tomorrow together. And I also did think, though, I did think that it was a good clap up for the Prime Minister to mention the accomplishments of Shawnee Miller and, of course, Stephen Gardner. I thought he should have actually called their names in the speech, all right? It would have done a whole lot for name recognition and notoriety. It's the largest platform possibly that he has spoken on since he's been elected. And if you make reference to them, then I say put their names in the speech because of what it would do internationally for them. Also, though, I think at some point there will be a clap back by the larger nations, of course. I think among them is Venezuela, America, and China as some of the largest polluters of the world. And eventually, those countries are going to ask countries like Barbados and the Bahamas, in my estimation, to not just preach a purist message, but to actually live by the message that they preach. And so, again, I'm going to give the Prime Minister 78%. I think if I felt really good, I would give him an 80%. I still think he needs to learn to crescendo a little bit more. His voice is kind of lulling, and it isn't firm. But we all know he's always been a very soft-spoken man, and that's something I trust Clint Watson and those will work on during his time in office. Also, when you compare him to Minister McIntosh that is down there, I guess he comes out stellar, all right? So I want to let you hear from Prime Minister Davis, and then I want to let you hear from Prime Minister Motley. And not that I'm asking you to compare the two, but I want you to hear the similarities in their messages. Because I think if their message is going to be that, then they are going to have to adjust some things in their own country, albeit the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Mr. Davis, has said that the Bahamas has not now or ever was responsible for the rising temperatures, and that we have some of the cleanest airspace on the planet, and our seas absorb carbon. I get that. I think our practices, though, they need a bit of amending. And I think if you're going to go up there and beat your chest and take a position that you are above reproach and without spot, then your lifestyle in your country has got to, in fact, be that. So let's hear from Mr. Davis, and then we'll hear from Mia Motley. Philip Davis, Prime Minister, Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Excellencies, this past summer at the Olympic Games, a young Bahamian woman and a young Bahamian man outran the competition to become gold medal winners in their 400-meter races. Our runners had the discipline and drive to work towards long-term goals. Our runners had the courage and determination to overcome every obstacle. And our runners had the ambition to believe, yes, they would succeed despite the odds. Colleagues, we must do the same to ensure that this gathering succeeds in a way that the prior 25 such meetings did not. We in the Bahamas will do what we can, but the limits of our nation's effort can accomplish our stark. We cannot outrun your carbon emissions. We cannot outrun the hurricanes, which are growing more powerful, and we cannot outrun rising sea levels as our islands disappear beneath the seas. Hurricane Dorian, that monster Category 5 hurricane, which devastated two of our main islands, feels like it descended upon us just yesterday. We still don't know exactly how many died, and some people still tremble at the first drop of rain. But every day, our yesterday is already becoming your today's, and fast becoming all of our tomorrows. But today we can still do something. As I said to the General Assembly of the United Nations in September, you will only be safe when we are all safe. We are out of time, colleagues. A recent study declared that the Bahamas had the cleanest air in the world. Other studies have shown that our distinctive, beautiful, aquamarine seas are a magnificent carbon sink. Our seas reduce the amount of carbon in the atmosphere. The Bahamas is not now and never has been the problem, but yet we are forced to pay the price. We are among the top 10 most vulnerable islands, nation states in the world. And the question I have for my colleagues today is, are we brave enough for this moment? Are we braver than our predecessors who led our nations at the previous 25 climate change meetings? Can we summon the courage and ingenuity and determination to succeed where they did not? Promises and agreements are easy. Action, specific concrete policy changes, is a lot harder. Action requires courage. Every leader before us has postponed until tomorrow what needed to happen yesterday. And now tomorrow is here today, and countries like mine are out of time. Your support by financing and technology transfer are needed urgently so we can rebuild for resilience. Without change, if we are lucky, we will become refugees. Without change, if we are unlucky, then we will be left to the mercy of future Hurricane Dorians. More of my people will die. More will be left traumatized and homeless. People will be forced to flee, but flee to where? These are my neighbors, my family, and friends. My plea is both urgent and deeply personal, and I make it on behalf of all humanity. My friends, look outside. Our hurricanes are your fires and floods. Our hurricanes are your landslides and drought. Morally and ethically, it has to be beyond imagination and conscience that we do so little until it becomes too late. Please, do what is needed, not what you can get away with. Turn promises and agreements into action. Don't hide behind buzzwords and hazy assurances. Don't let the failures of the past limit our ambition for the present. Have the courage to acknowledge that failure today will lead directly to destruction for humanity tomorrow. Like Bahamian gold medal winners, today we still have the chance to win the race against time and outrun the impact of climate change. I thank you.
And so that is Prime Minister Davis. Again, you know, I thought it was interesting some of his choices, his choice of words, that we needed specific policy changes, all while talking about the Bahamas having wonderful natural blue waters that act as a carbon sink. Well, that's not a specific policy. That just happens to be good geography, right? Like Jesus do that for us, not any government before. And so I think at some point there will have to be a talk or have to be some talks about what is our specific policy adjustment. You know, we've banned the plastic bag, right? And the plastic straw. Jesus, please at least give me back the plastic straw. But the question becomes, can we continue to act as though we are above reproach while we live on island nations where waste management and waste separation isn't something that we are moving towards, where you live in a household that puts the cans in the same bin as the paper, puts the paper in the same bin as the refuse. You follow where I'm going with this? Can we continue to say that we are doing absolutely nothing to add to the climate change and rise in tides when we still allow construction with handmade septic tanks that go right into the water table? Are we completely void of our influence? Can we, in all honesty, say as a country that only just last year approved licenses for there to be oil drilling in our waters, can we say that we have taken specific policy positions, or are we going to continue to, by our just natural geography, inherit good carbon points and expect that the world should care about us and tell the world, hey, you should mark the manner of our bearing, when really and truly we are not doing that much, all right? So I want you to hear from Mia Motley. She was, and you know, people like some of my friends say that I have a love affair with Mia Motley. Maybe, but I think she was, pretty good yesterday. Let's hear from the Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Motley, who was also one of the better speakers, particularly from small developing nations.
Your Royal Highness, Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, the pandemic has taught us that national solutions to global problems do not work. We come to Glasgow with global ambition to save our people and to save our planet. But we now find three gaps on mitigation, climate pledges or NDCs. Without more, we will leave the world on a pathway to 2.7 degrees, and with more, we are still likely to get to 2 degrees. These commitments made by some are based on technologies yet to be developed, And this is at best reckless and at worst dangerous. On finance, we are $20 billion short of the $100 billion. And this commitment, even then, might only be met in 2023. On adaptation, adaptation finance remains only at 25%, not the 50-50 split that was promised nor needed, given the warming that is already taking place on this earth. Climate finance to frontline small island developing states declined by 25% in 2019. Failure to provide the critical finance and that of loss and damage is measured, my friends, in lives and livelihoods in our communities. This is immoral and it is unjust. If Glasgow is to deliver on the promises of Paris, it must close these three gaps. So I ask to you, what must we say to our people living on the front line in the Caribbean, in Africa, in Latin America, in the Pacific, when both ambition and regrettably some of the needed faces at Glasgow are not present? What excuse should we give for the failure? In the words of that Caribbean icon, Eddie Grant, will they mourn us on the front line? When will we, as world leaders across the world, address the pressing issues that are truly causing our people angst and worry, whether it is climate or whether it is vaccines? Simply put, when will leaders lead? Our people are watching, and our people are taking note. And are we really going to leave Scotland without the resolve and the ambition that is sorely needed to save lives and to save our planet? How many more voices and how many more pictures of people must we see on these screens without being able to move? Or are we so blinded and hardened that we can no longer appreciate the cries of humanity? I have been saying to Barbadians for many years that many hands make light work. Today, we need the correct mix of voices, ambition, and action. Do some leaders in this world believe that they can survive and thrive on their own? Have they not learned from the pandemic? Can there be peace and prosperity if one third of the world literally prospers and the other two thirds of the world live under siege and face calamitous threats to our well-being? What the world needs now, my friends, is that which is within the ambit of less than 200 persons who are willing and prepared to lead. Leaders must not fail those who elect them to lead. And I say to you, there is a sword that can cut down this Gordian knot, and it has been wielded before. The central banks of the wealthiest countries engaged in $25 trillion of quantitative easing in the last 13 years. $25 trillion. Of that, $9 trillion was in the last 18 months to fight the pandemic. Had we used that $25 trillion to purchase bonds, to finance the energy transition, or the transition of how we eat, or how we move ourselves in transport, we would now today be reaching that 1.5 degrees limit that is so vital to us. I say to you today in Glasgow that an annual increase in the SDRs of $500 billion a year for 20 years, put in a trust to finance the transition, is the real gap, Secretary General, that we need to close, not the $50 billion being proposed for adaptation. And if $500 billion sounds big to you, guess what? It is just 2% of the $25 trillion. This is the sword we need to wield. Our excitement 1 hour into this event is far less than it was 6 months ago leading up to this event. Can we, with those voices and these speeches from Sir David and others, find it within ourselves to get the resolve to bring Glasgow back on track? Or do we leave today believing that it was a failure before it starts? Our world, my friends, stands at a fork in the road, one no less significant than when the United Nations was formed in 1945. But then, the majority of our countries here did not exist. We exist now. The difference is we want to exist 100 years from now. And if our existence is to mean anything, then we must act in the interests of all of our people who are dependent on us. And if we don't, we will allow the path of greed and selfishness to sow the seeds of our common destruction. The leaders of today, not 2030, not 2050, must make this choice. It is in our hands. And our people and our planet need it more than ever. We can work with who is ready to go, because the train is ready to leave. And those who are not yet ready, we need to continue to ring circle and to remind them that their people, not our people, but their citizens, need them to get on board as soon as possible. Code red to the G7 countries. Code red to the G20. Earth to COP, that's what it said. Earth to COP. For those who have eyes to see, for those who have ears to listen, and for those who have a heart to feel, 1.5 is what we need to survive. 2 degrees, yes, SG, is a death sentence for the people of Antigua and Barbuda, for the people of the Maldives, for the people of Dominica and Fiji, for the people of Kenya and Mozambique, and yes, for the people of Samoa and Barbados. We do not want that dreaded death sentence. And we've come here today to say, try harder, because our people, the climate army, the world, the planet, needs our actions now, not next year, not in the next decade. Thank you.
And so that is Mia Motley. I don't know if it's because she's a woman or I don't know, because she has curly hair, I'm not sure. But you kind of get the feeling that, you know, we must act now. You all say we need $25 trillion to be able to solve some of the mitigation problems that we have with regards to global warming and the crises that it creates. Well, let me tell you all something. In the last 18 months, you all find $9 trillion because you all needed the world to spin. And I'm saying to you all that when the big countries thought it was necessary, you all found money. I am telling you all that if we don't find money, sure, the big countries may not ever know that countries like mine disappeared into the deep. All of our existence depends on it. And I'm not talking about these chummy deadlines that y'all have set for yourselves of 2030 and 20. I don't have 30 years. I don't have a decade. And I don't have the 2-year period that y'all want to have for consideration. Please let us make the decision today. The takeaway from my speech, leaders must lead. And leaders must not disappoint those who have elected them to lead. And we must do it. Man, isn't that just titillating? What a wonderful speech by Mia Motley, the Prime Minister of Barbados. Anyway, I'm going to the break. Don't move. Leave a message here. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That means I'm unleashed on your radio, and that means that it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agency.
mine. Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. It's Levin Miller. I'm here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The phone lines are now open. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259, because y'all like to say I say those fast, so I'm trying. And you can text me on 422-4796. Let me read a couple of these text messages. Maybe it's just me. I really like Mia. I would have given her a 90. And the only reason she wouldn't get 100 is because I feel like she tried to extemporaneously go off on the edge there. And you could tell when she shifts and she says, literally, that's her feeling around for words, right? And if she had just ended it there, it would have been really, really good. But she ended very strong and said, we must act now. And I really like that. All right. This text message here says, good morning, brother. You are the only one to give him a lesser grade. Why? I don't know. I don't know, because all men are not created equal. So I you get to give him what you want. I would. Do you know this is why I never liked English literature? When I was in school, I had a teacher, Miss Johnson, English literature. And I hated Miss Johnson, actually, because I felt like no matter what I wrote, Miss Johnson was just going to give me a 68, no matter how amazing this was, right? And she would just, and the thing about Miss Johnson is when she marked your book, she wouldn't put a grade. Like, she would just tick it and write the word scene very big across the page, right? And so you never really knew if you was passing Miss Johnson's class or failing Miss Johnson's class. You just didn't know until the end of the year come and you get your report card and you have a 68 in literature. And I think it was mind games Miss Johnson was trying to play with us, and I detested it. So I guess, you know, maybe this is like English literature text writer. And if you were his literature teacher, he would get an 80. But because I'm his literature teacher, or he might get a 90. He gets a 678 in my class. And an 80 if I feel really good. I would tick his book, one big red tick, right scene at the bottom of it, and then he would find it at the end of the year that he got a 78. All right, how does that feel? Good. This one here says, well, for his first international message, it was good. Well, actually, I think that's his second one, because he spoke to the UN the other day, and that was a pretty big platform. Come on, bro. When he said brave, it had nothing to do with his name. Really? You think that? You really think that? I don't know if you noticed, but Mr. Davis has a fascination with calling himself brave. So much so that he gets reporters to call him brave, like it's his name, right? Like they report, Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis, his name is Edward. His name is Philip Edward Davis. I don't know why we call him Philip Brave Davis, like that is his name. It's just, I don't know. But I guess Bill Clinton, we call Bill Clinton. Maybe we don't call him William. So we'll let them have it. Come on, bro. When he said brave, it has nothing to do with his name. The content in which he uses it was appropriate. Only those of us who know that could make such a comparison. And that's what I said. If he was speaking to a local audience, I think that would have been a good punchline. Great show as usual. Let's start with getting rid of these Japanese cars in New Providence. They jack up the environment and also they are not safe to drive, and because our people can't drive to begin with. I'm super glad the media in the Bahamas gave climate change some attention as opposed to talking about politics. I want to actually zero in on that one, text writer. And that is the point I make, right? Mr. Davis has said things like we need specific policy changes. We need to do what is needed and not what we can get away with. Failure to do will be measured in lives and in livelihoods. This is Mia Motley. And so the thing I want to get both of them to understand, because she also goes on to say, notably missing here today is the ambition to get things done and some of the faces. She met the Chinese people because they didn't send a representative, right? And so, and the president of the United States of America was there, but China didn't think it was, you know, in their best interest to come. So my whole deal is, can places like the Bahamas and Barbados, again, with no real active recycling plant, consider themselves not contributing? Can places like the Bahamas and Barbados and Jamaica and all of these other little Caribbean countries that have made it their business to import these unregulated Japanese vehicles, I mean, shiploads at a time, can they really say that they are doing everything in their power? Maybe we ought to, because what if America says, right? Well, for as long as you all bringing in Japanese, these unregulated Japanese cars with no EKG regulations, EKC regulations, for as long as y'all ain't doing emissions testing and all that other silliness, don't ask me for no money, and I hope you all drown. Basically, America could get away with saying that because, you know, America has set itself up to have cars that have less and less and less emission over the next 20 years. I think the goal is 2030, right? But what is the Bahamas doing to contribute to that? Because Mr. Ingram made the importation of American vehicles so expensive 15 years ago that nobody ever brings American vehicles into the Bahamas anymore. And then Leslie Miller Lewis made bringing in vehicles over 10 years impossible. So that worsened the experience because now the only thing we have around here is one bunch of Japanese cars with no emission regulation and a literal life span of 2 years. So we end up with massive junkyards heaped up almost to the ceiling with metals that we are not reusing, with oil seeping into the ground, and all sorts of God knows what else that leads to massive vector issues, all right? I mean, can we really say that we have done what Mr. Davis is calling for on the world stage, which is made specific policy changes? Because our specific policy changes seem to have gone away from what it is he and Prime Minister Motley are suggesting is not our fault. I don't know much about Barbadian politics, but I can tell you what I've witnessed here at home. All right? We bought the Wärtsilä generators, the ones that are powered by fossil fuel, and we just did that. So are we really practicing the gospel we preach? Or do we just take this purist argument to the international world because we assume all they know is eczema, and we could get away with being disingenuous on an international level? We've got to figure it out. We've got to figure out if we are going to practice the gospel of reduction of global temperatures, of better programs that lead to a cooler planet. Having the money to rebuild it is one thing. But if you listen to them, they fear we are all going to drown. The question for me then is, rebuild what? Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Morning, Ligon.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, man. Your opening remarks is right on point. The Prime Minister did an excellent job in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and at that forum, he did an excellent job with respect to what we have encountered in recent time and time past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is important, you touch one thing, omission. That's what we need to deal with. Right now, we have a lot of vehicles on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, this one might hit you in your pocket. Jitneys of one of them,
mm-hmm.
large vehicles. And I'm telling you, we need to get serious about omission. If we can get, if we really can do something about this, notwithstanding that Clifton Pier, that Bunker Sea Oil,
and wretched.
The idea that we may decide to have oil drilling in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
is more troubling than anything else. So we have to do some things to contribute to our existence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do. I'm glad he did that, what he did there. He did an excellent job, and I commend him. But now we got to come home, and we got to start to do something clean our house.
He must do exactly what he's called for the world leaders to do. He said, let us do what we must and not what we can get away with. And I think for a long time, that is exactly where the Bahamas has been.
Yes, and I agree with, I listened to both speeches. Barbados Prime Minister was excellent as well.
Man,
but
she's
like
delightful.
I said, words without action means nothing.
She said that. She said we need the ambition. If we leave here and have not accomplished that which we've come here to do, it would signal to the world that we didn't have the ambition to get it done. And that ambition is lacking here in Glasgow today.
Right. And like I said, we said we want to reduce our fossil fuel by 30% by 2030. Listen, we can reduce fossil fuel by 50% if we are serious about that. Merely, I'll even go to say 70%. 50%. I don't think we could do it over a 5-year period. We could reduce that to at least 50% if we are serious, because we definitely contributing to our own demise. And until we do that, we ain't going nowhere.
Appreciate it, caller.
Thank you.
323-623-2354-316-325-4259. And he makes a good point, right? And yes, I get it. A lot of the way we do business in our everyday life in the Bahamas doesn't consider the amount of emissions that we release, particularly here in Nassau. Luckily for the Bahamas, unlike Barbados, unlike Jamaica, unlike a lot of these other places, the Bahamas has a superpower, right? And that is, it is archipelagic. So the contaminants that you experience here in Nassau, you don't, Mama and Colonel Little Crooked Island don't know nothing but that. As a matter of fact, the only thing she gets is the price tag of our emissions. And so I make the point, right? We are still in this country. And see, this is why I say the prime minister must learn to practice the gospel he preaches. So I imagine that when he gets back, he will direct his minister of transport to do away with the silly trinket vehicle inspection. And there would be auto centers set up with credible mechanics and technicians that actually do things like make sure vehicles on this island pass a rate of emissions transmission. Regrettably, though, that means that 70% of the cars have to go missing, because none of your little Japanese car got no EK nothing in them. And so they have to leave. And we have to figure out how to mash them all up and put them in a container and ship them back to China or Japan or wherever they come from. We've got to then think about, he has to then turn to his Minister of Economic Affairs and say, listen, reduce the tariff on American vehicles that meet the emission standard, reduce it to 12% or 15% or whatever percent I need to reduce it to get Bahamians back in their vehicles. Those ones will last longer, and we're not taking the American vehicles that they build in Korea. We ain't want none of them set. Like the Kia Sportage that my good friend drives and is completely horrid in his experience with, right? Let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Morning, Isimelo.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, that last caller was spot on. He prompted me to call, but the thing is, he keeps saying omissions, man. It's emissions, right?
Emissions.
Yeah, so the thing is, he was right about the diesel. And what happens is, because sulfur dioxide is produced, right, and the sulfur content, the high sulfur content of the diesel, I don't know if it's a contaminant, maybe someone from the fuel company could say, but the high sulfur content, Europe is already dealing with that. In London, the city of London, there was a study done, and it actually showed where the diesel emissions and the high sulfur content actually led to asthmatic deaths and produced respiratory problems in kids and children. And so this is a known problem. Mm-hmm. And so there's a mandate whereby cruise ships are supposed to, by 2020 or 2021, we're supposed to either change their fuel or decrease the sulfur content. The sulfur content is the problem, all right? Yeah. And so a question to all the global inhabitants, right? We have to realize why people, it's not about people believe the rich, it's not about money, you know. These people already have enough money. They use all these companies, I listened to you yesterday, all these companies have already made their money from burning fossil fuels, et cetera, and polluting the environment. They are now turning back on us to shift the paradigm as if they're into cleaning up the earth, but they're really not, because all this is about money. Even from the Al Gore scenario, you could just go back and do the Google search. They even discredit the Climate Gate email with the conversations between the scientists. This is all about control, because they're hiding from us. There's something called the common heritage law of the sea, where they could actually take the amount of resources on earth and that's found in the sea and divide it amongst the population and share it out amongst the people, but you won't see that. So all of these things about sustainable development, debt for nature swap, oceans monopoly, this is really designed to help the big countries. It's the same thing, the strong will oppress upon the weak. So I'm telling you, these people already have $200 billion. It's about control, Levon. Yeah. You're all naive. Have a good day. Bless up.
Appreciate it. And I think Prime Minister Motley pointed that out. Prime Minister Motley said, listen, we have agreed that we would spend, $525 trillion, right? To date, we have not reached that target, but we've spent, in the last 18 months, we have found $9 trillion in the wake of the pandemic. We somehow magically found that money. And what does that mean? Countries like America, they printed more money, right? They just printed money, and all those countries that have money printing power, they just printed money, right? And so she said, But listen, we need that same kind of gusto in this fight against climate change. Figure out how we will balance out the economies and y'all get us some money. Because my small country with its small GDP can't continue to rebuild highways and rebuild verges and rebuild seawalls every single time the water almost drowned the people. And the reason this water keeps drowning us is because y'all say that we causing carbon emissions. Well, we are a decimal point compared to what it is y'all fellas emitting. And if y'all emitting this kind, then y'all should pay. And we should agree $500 billion a year. Put it in an escrow. And whenever something get break up, we dip out of that. Because I can't afford to pay no more. Basically, that's what she said. Let's take another phone call. Come on and call. You're on.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
First time call. I always listen to you. But, you know, I say I have to call today.
Thank you.
We are our own detrimental. I'll use BPL as an example. When we had a chance to get the LNG, we didn't get it. We still gone and get the oil generator. And, mm-hmm. and cost us all kind of money. Don't you know it cost $28 million a month for oil? We just spend on oil alone.
Mm.
Okay? We had a chance to get a light bill down cheap. If they'd have gone and get the LNG. As a matter of fact, USA was willing to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because of who the people connected with the oil, mm-hmm. that ain't going nowhere soon.
Mm-hmm.
And my next point, we have used as a dumping ground for Japan.
Mm-hmm.
These cars coming in here 10 years old and all kind of nonsense, can't find parts, so we used to dumping ground.
Mm-hmm.
But another, the government needed to drop the duty, like you said, on the American cars, so we could bring in sensible cars and you don't have all these, you know, derelicts on the road after 1 year or 2 years.
Right.
Some other things I wouldn't say, but I'll leave it at that.
Appreciate your caller. Thank you very much for giving me a call.
Yeah, man.
All right. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can call me on those. You can text me on those. I will say this, though. Guess what? Prime Minister Davis was cited at the COP26 summit with the quote of the day. And the quote of the day was, we cannot outrun your carbon emissions. We cannot outrun the hurricanes, which are becoming more powerful. And we cannot outrun our sea levels as our islands disappear. Wasn't that just tantalizing? Wonderful. So wonderful. Let me get a couple more of these text messages in. This one here says, great as usual, if China showed up, they might have brought another stream of COVID along with them. China has been leading the fight in the eradication of COVID, by the way. Great speech. Now put your money where your mouth is and remove duties and VAT from all electric vehicles. I think electric vehicles is an exercise, right, in an intellectual masturbatory escapade. Because you ain't about to convince me that the car you plug into the house, that plug into the lamp hole, that plug into BEC, any cleaner than my gasoline vehicle that running in mint condition with a million different emission sensors on it. And so I chuckled, hefty chuckle, when I see people with the in the name of saving the planet with the fancy light up electrical car. And I wish it flood ran here one of these days so we can see who can fix this flood out car when this short out like this island don't flood 4 foot deep in some places. All right? It is an exercise in an intellectual masturbatory escapade. If you believe that your plug-in car saving this planet, if you live in the Bahamas where we burning fossil fuel and basing tons of oil in the ground and in the ocean to power the diesel engine generator that you plug in your vehicle into. You see how it just don't make sense when you say it? It might make sense in Canada, maybe where there's a solar panel or something, but not, man, no, let's not do that. All right? And let's say, how do you pronounce hurricane? What did Prime Minister Davis say? Hurricane? But you can't blame him. He's a Cat Island boy. This one here says, oh, and they want me to know that I'm an idiot for saying that their cars are solar powered. Nope. The ones that I see, they plug into the wall, which plugs into the house, that plugs into the lamp hole, that plugs into BEC. So, Miller, we praising the Prime Minister for reading the speech he didn't write. Man, we have low standards. Make it make sense. Also, climate change is the new COVID. Yes, we are praising him for reading a speech he didn't write. Which world leader? Did you notice Mia did her whole thing without any paper? You think she memorized it? I don't know. We will be presenting waste management for the Family Islands. We hope through partnership between the private sector and government. Let's also hope that our new day administration will be brave and support this initiative. Well, that sounds like a good initiative. According to a study done in February 2021, Puerto Rico have the cleanest air in the world, not the Bahamas. I think he said among some of the countries. Yes, indeed. Very brilliant speech by Prime Minister Davis of the Bahamas and PM Mia Motley of Barbados at Climate Change Conference. She has a heavy, strong voice. I hope and pray the world or other nations heed and help. Davis said it right. Do what is needed and not what you can get away with. Yes, I agree with that. Miller, is this the Michelle Malcolm show? Well, by grab. This one here says, Trevor from one of your watering. Oh, okay. Hey, Trevor. Good morning, sir. Listening to your show, I thought that if we're serious, we can demonstrate our part by being brave and banning all Japanese imported vehicles. I endorse that position. Good morning, Mr. Miller. I have a Japanese car that I have had for more than 5 years, so not all Japanese cars last 2 years. And you're right, it's out of our hands now because people leaving their old cars all over the place instead of having them disposed of properly. And that's because there is no no place to dispose of them. What sayest thou about oil drilling and how the Bahamian masses will not directly or even indirectly benefit? I don't know. I am ambivalent as it relates to oil drilling in the Bahamas. Are Honda's Japan acceptable? No, they build some of those in America as well. Do they? Or Mexico? They built some of those in Mexico, I think. I'd have to check. Great show. Did PM Davis wear the Rolex watch? I don't know. I didn't look at his watch. I'll go back and check. He had on a purple tie, though. He seems to like purple ties on the world stage. And I don't disagree with it. I think Mr. Davis looks really good in a purple tie. I don't know. Maybe it's because he has purple skin. I'm not sure. But he looks really good in a purple tie. I really like him in a purple tie. It brings out, it highlights his features a whole lot. Okay, so that's it. I have one more text message here. Let me see if I can get this one in. This one here says, you have to forgive me, technology doesn't always work as quickly as I'd like it to. So this one here says, we have less than a percentage point of carbon emissions. Both Motley and Davis's speech did what they were meant to do. You have limited time on the world stage to make your case. I think there is nothing to compare or score. It's like whether you prefer Dolly Parton or Whitney Houston's rendition of I Will Always Love You. I get it, and I take that point, right? I take that point. So, sure. My time with y'all are not long. I get it. I need to come here and just make the case that y'all are killing my country. And it ain't no who doing more of what and et cetera. We know y'all doing a whole lot of emitting. And as a consequence, y'all have the ability to print money. I need y'all to print some of that money and put it in an account because even when I sign up for insurance, somehow I'm incapable of getting the insurance money to mitigate the damages or to agitate the repairs that are necessary in the wake of global warming. I need y'all big countries to do something about that because y'all have committed $25 trillion and I see none of it yet. And y'all keep talking about 2030 and I don't have to know 2030. I get it. I get that was the point to go there and make. As a matter of fact, it almost sounded to me like the Barbadian Prime Minister's speechwriter and the Bahamian Prime Minister's speechwriter sat in the same room and wrote these two speeches because they're identicals, right? Even if they're like only, they're not identical. They're like twins. Even if only fraternal twins and not identical twins, right? So I get the point. But I'm saying, what then stops the larger countries from saying, no, we sent people into your country to see how y'all live. And y'all got one bunch of car. Y'all don't have no mountain, but y'all got a mountain of car heap up everywhere I go. And y'all ain't got no lake, but I see lakes of oil all over the ground with all other sorts of refuse pouring out of vehicles. And oh, by the way, you, Mr. Prime Minister of the Bahamas, I visited your capital island, and the highest hill there, they tell me, was Gladstone Road. I argue the highest hill there is the dump. I could see that from everywhere on the island. Well, not no more because they are now taking care of that. But what if? What if they say, you all come here acting all safe? This thing you all complaining about, you all are contributing to. So you all do more, and then we'll talk about my contribution. That's very possible. This here says, it is the rich. What is this word? What is this? I don't know that word. Has taught the global sheep to believe the world is overpopulated, which is foolishness. How did they know that? I don't know. The world is definitely not overpopulated in some areas. Since they can't bring Russia, China, and India to make a significant carbon reduction, not even UK, Australia, or USA willing to touch carbon emissions, so they diverted to methane. All right. Well, I don't know. So I thought the speeches were great. I thought Prime Minister Mia Motley was a bit better than great. And it also looks to me like she was extemporaneously speaking. Are we still recycling bears? I don't know. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? No, we're not recycling bear waters. We stopped that as well. And ever since they stopped, the bear don't taste as good no more. It probably was the pee and rainwater on the used bottle that made the bear taste so good. But now it just, the bear don't taste the same. I'm not sure. I got to look into that. Last one, yes. Okay, there, bear bottles. No, we are not recycling bear bottles anymore. Anyway, that's my time. I got to get out of here. It's Lever Miller, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. Guardian has the news.